Boss Man Show, going to Kalamazoo, Michigan, to talk to Coach Clayton Bates of the Western Michigan Broncos out of the MAC. Coach, what's up there in Kalamazoo, man?
Man, we're living the life right here, man. It's sunny, it's a beautiful day here, and everything is good.
Same here in Atlanta, Coach. We're in 78 degrees here and sunny, so it's springtime in the air. We just kind of can't enjoy it right now, as we all know right now.
Very true. Very true. I think if we all have to be home and adjusting to these times, it sure helps when the sun is shining.
You got there right now, Coach. I know, you know, you got a coaching change up there in Western Michigan. You was tabbed the new head coach, but what's good thing about it was that you was already the assistant coach there. So the guys already know you. You can just move over that one seat there, and it's a familiarity with you and the program, the players, the community. So just knowing that piece of the equation has made make you feel really good as you take over your job here going forward.
Well, we're extremely excited. We're incredibly fortunate to be in the position that we are. These are very uncertain times for everybody. The world is changing. What we think is one day changes to the next day. And that's really difficult for all of us to deal with. Then you factor in 18 to 22-year-old young men. They're away from home. We're sent home from school. Everything to be done online. There's a coaching change. I think the stability, hopefully, that myself and a couple of our staff members that stayed on with me, I think the stability that we added, that we can bring, the familiarity, and hopefully add to these times right now. Hopefully we can settle them. We have, you know, the connections. We know mom and dad. We know the coaches that are involved in their lives. We know their background. We know their recruitment. It's deeper than just, hey, they just got here. It's a close relationship. And the thing we've tried to do is reach out to all of our players and all of our players' parents and let them know that we're here, we're available. Anything we can do to help make them and their sons more comfortable, that's what we want to do.
And, Coach, I know it has to be weird. We're trying to recruit new young men to the program via FaceTime and Zoom or group FaceTime and talking to your team via Zoom and FaceTime. I can only imagine you taking over this job, becoming a head coach now in this time where you can't really be in someone's face. You can't see them face-to-face because I usually get more out of somebody when you're in their face. So that has to be tough, the interpersonal relationship that you want to have with your players and your team and community. You can't have it right now. It has to be tough as you're trying to build this program with your stamp on. Now going forward,
it's a unique time for everybody in the world right now. You're absolutely right about that. I think the familiarity with our team, we had 11 guys coming back, so there was obviously a connection. We have utilized Zoom and FaceTime and all that. The thing we've talked about is that none of us are going through this alone. We're all in this together. We've got our friends, we've got our family, each other. We obviously utilize the Zoom or the different model, you know, different ways to do this. I mean, that's great. I think it brings us closer together. It's not ideal. We wish we were all together. We wish we were all here. But this is the hand we were dealt. From a recruiting standpoint, it makes it unique for sure. Obviously, you love sitting down face to face, looking each other in the eye, talking about things. You just don't have that same connection. But we're working through it. Obviously, we're using the things that we've talked about. We have to be creative. You can't just do the same thing. You just can't try to do the same thing that everyone else is doing. But on the other side of the coin is these are the rules. Everyone's having to do the same thing. Everybody's having to recruit the same way. So it's not an advantage or a disadvantage for us compared to people or young men that were already recruiting. We just have to be creative. We have to find a way. We have to make sure there's still a connection. And if anything, to do even more research and spend more time communicating to make sure we're all on the same page for it to work for us, the young man, and his family in terms of making his college decision.
And, Coach, for you becoming a head coach, an assistant for a long time, so how do you feel it's going to be for making a suggestion now to it actually being your call now rather than saying, hey, Coach, maybe we can do this. You know, all these great ideas. Now you're all the man with the idea. Stop it and decide, okay, this is the way it's going to be going forward no matter what.
Well, for sure.
Our direction going forward.
For sure. That's a good point. I think the thing we've really tried to emphasize with the team, and I know that I have drilled home with them, is a belief in our program. I'm obviously in charge. But this is not my program. This is everyone in the program's program. Every player, every coach, a strength coach, a manager, anyone involved in this, we all have ownership. We all have ownership in what we're doing. We all have ownership in our success. It's a very shared thing. Obviously, at the end of the day, someone's got to make a decision. But I want input. I want input from our players. I want input on things they like, they don't like. I want input from our staff. I don't ask our staff to agree with me. I ask them to give me their honest opinion. We can debate it. We can bat it back and forth. But at the end of the day, we all have to be on the same page. Sometimes you win a battle. Sometimes you lose a battle. Sometimes we all agree. Sometimes we all disagree. And those times make it really easy. But the thing of it is we make a decision. This is the best interest for the collective group, not for one person, not for me, not for any one person. We buy into that. We all buy into to the team. That's really what it's all about.
And, Coach, also on a point on that as well is that, you know, I know when I was wanting to become a main host myself, that I kind of prepared. As if I was the main host, I was kind of prepared. I was the main host. You know, I wasn't. I was thinking in my head, like, I would do this or do that or do this differently here. So how did you, your head, prepare yourself in your mind when you was an assistant coach to say, hey, if it's this time I play, I may have done this or sub this guy in this different time I played this guy more minutes. So how, as you prepare yourself in your head to build a staff in your mind, you become a head coach. So how did you do that for yourself? Can you prepare yourself for this opportunity now? This presenting yourself with you right now?
I think one of the things I've learned is I think when you are an assistant coach, you make suggestions and you make those suggestions and you can maybe take some of the emotion out of it because you're just making a suggestion that you feel right just for you. Sometimes that can happen, or maybe you don't look at things from as wide a lens. I think when you're the head coach, you've got to look at things and make a decision that benefits everybody, what we can get the absolute most out of. And so you look at it a little bit differently. I know, you know, from my time since I've been named head coach, you obviously have to make a lot of decisions. But you need people around you who are smart, who have imagination, who are willing to come up with their own ideas, who are willing to present their own ideas. No idea is too bad, no idea is too good. We throw it all out there, and I think the thing that we've tried to really establish quickly here, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. It doesn't matter who came up with the idea. It matters that we have the right idea. And I think that's something our guys are buying into. Now, I'm not saying it didn't go on in the past. I'm just saying that that's something that's really important to me and that everybody feels a shared ownership of our group.
And recruiting-wise, Coach, you're going to try to target some high school seniors, JUCO guys, transfer guys, a grad transfer guy, if you want to stay a little bit older there, because or you're a national guy or a prep school guy. I don't go any way you want to. But mainly, I'm trying to build sustainability with your program. How do you see yourself going about doing that here going forward?
I think you win with really good players. I think it's our responsibility to look at all options. I think you can look at all those guys you just mentioned, whether they're a high school young man or a junior college or a transfer or anywhere in there. I think you need to look at all options. I think it's always evolving. You know, the term we use is our roster is a working document. It can always change. It can always be added. It can always be tweaked. You never know what's going to happen next, whether it's a transfer or an injury. You just don't know. And that's part of college basketball, and we understand that. But you've got to find, obviously, talented people. But then also when we talk to them and we communicate with them, we're very honest on the front end about what we're about what our program is about, what we stand for in terms of them getting their degree, them representing the university and their basketball program, them buying into the collective group about the team is the most important thing. And then obviously finding out once you can have that conversation and you're honest and everybody's on the same page, I think it allows you to really drill down then to how do they fit in, what's their role, things like that. And I think we've had a very good, positive feedback, you know, from recruits and their families and their moms and dads, and that's really important to us.
And, Coach, for listeners down here in Atlanta who don't know, and I'm familiar with the MAC as well as I am, tell them about how the MAC is leading. I know you guys have two divisions. You know, you got Buffalo for the Far East there, and you got to get schools in Michigan there and Ohio. So talk to our listeners about in Indiana as well, with Ball State there. Talk to our listeners about the MAC as a whole from being in that league for so long as you have.
The Mid-American Conference is an outstanding league. It's top to bottom. It's very competitive night in and night out. Obviously, we have from Northern Illinois and the very far west to Buffalo in the east. You've got obviously Ball State in Indiana. You've got three schools in Michigan. You've got six schools in Ohio. It is two divisions of six. It's just a dogfight every night. The level of competition is incredibly strong. If you look at some of the metrics that are out there over the past 4 or 5 years, you're talking about a league that's been the top 10, top 11 league in the country, as high as 9. Yeah, I think all of us can maybe come through. If you're certainly down in the South, you think about the SEC and the ACC, and then you can go to the Big 12, Big 10, and all of us can name a certain handful of conferences. But right after that, there's some really, really good basketball being played. We're right here in Big 10 country. We're right here. It's a lot like that. It's a physical, fun league to play in. Basketball is important in this part of the country. Certainly it's supported. We've also got in our league, we've got big-time Division I football. It really provides some unique institutions where they're not commuter schools. There's Saturday football weekends. We've got a football stadium with 35. Shoot, they've crammed almost 40,000 people into there. It's a lot of fun on the weekends. Good-sized schools. Young men really, really enjoy going to school. I know at Western Michigan, our students really enjoy the full college experience that they get. They don't have people going home on the weekend, all their friends, and then starting back on Monday. There's a lot you can be involved with. It's a great league, and we're obviously it's our part to hopefully continue the tradition of that.
And last one I got for you, Coach, is non-conference scheduling. I know that's a big part of college coaching is recruiting and scheduling, the two biggest things you probably do. So how would you go about non-conference scheduling with the mat being tough as it is in conference? I know you got to maybe play a guaranteed game or two here or there, try to get some home games, or two-for-ones, and maybe a non-conference tournament here and there to get you guys some exposure that way. So how do you see yourself going about scheduling these games going forward now since you're the man making the call on that?
I think good players want to play against other good players. I think they do. I think our guys, for the last 4 years, we have played a team that appeared in the previous year's Final Four. So we've played over the last 4 years, Michigan, Villanova, South Carolina, Michigan State. We love those games. Our guys love those games. You want to measure yourself. You want to put yourself up against really good teams in the top competition. Our guys really get up for that. Our fans really like it. We enjoy it. Our guys want to play a really tough schedule. You obviously have to find the right balance between home games and road games, and that's important. But playing good people, playing good competition, two things. One, our guys really buy into it. It's a great thing for them. But secondly, it prepares us for a tough Mid-American Conference schedule, and hopefully put those two together and you put together a great schedule that our guys really are excited about.
Coach Bates, it's been fun to talk to you here on the show, man. I wish you guys the best of luck, and I hope you guys a lot of success up there with you leading at the helm there, and I hope you guys stay safe in Kalamazoo, and you guys stay safe amidst all this COVID-19 pandemic. We all can come through this and be better for we have a great season coming November here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. I'd be happy to be on anytime, and yet same to you and everyone. Please be safe. Please be healthy, and we can all stick together and get through this.
Thank you so much, Coach. Have a good one, buddy. Talk to you real soon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, it's Coach Bates on the Boss Man Show.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there. Your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey, parents. We all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. As you are requested, we're back with it, the JC Sports Report. We've gone to Memphis, tell my man, the 901, where that shelter in place in quarantine as well. JC Smith, what's good, bruh?
Boss, what's happening with you, man? Hope you taking care of yourself where you're at, man. Washing your hands and, you know, self-quarantine and all that good stuff, man.
Yeah, bruh, I have become a Netflix champion, bruh. I've learned about new movies, new documentaries. I've kind of become a hermit almost. I've kind of been in the house. I can't go nowhere, but I work from home, and I just don't do that anymore, bro.
Man, that's me, bro. Yeah, I've watched everything on Netflix, man. What's next? What's next at Netflix?
Yeah. I was texting off the air, bro, like crazy. We hung out March the 7th, and come March 14th, the world had changed on us in a whole week.
Yeah, man, it was all good about 3 weeks ago, man. And then everything kind of flipped, man, especially after Rudy Gobert caught the COVID. And then after that, man, it was a wrap.
Yeah, it was on my birthday, Hawks versus Knicks. I'm at the arena, and I get this message talking about, he's getting suspended. I'm like, suspended? Like, I'm like, what? Suspended?
Yeah, man.
And it all went down from there on my birthday. So I didn't forget my birthday where season got suspended on my birthday, man. So I cannot forget that at all. So I guess I got to enjoy my birthday in Memphis. I ain't just never done nothing else but in Memphis that right. with you out the game. Because I didn't get to do nothing else but my birthday.
It is, man. You know? You're crazy, man.
Bruh, so we had a lot going on in the world of sports, race-wise, in the NFL, and Amari Cooper signed for 5 years, $100 million, which was really a 2-year, $40 million contract with three options for the Cowboys, $20 million, is whether they're going to keep him or not. So what are your thoughts on Amari Cooper taking less money from the Redskins, offered him to come stay with Dallas and be their number one receiver, be one of their triplets they want to have reincarnated with him, Dak, and Zeke Elliott in the backfield?
You know, I think it's one of those situations that, you know, kind of worked out for both parties, man. You know, Cowboys being in a situation where they, you know, traded for him and gave up the first-round pick, you know, about a year or two ago. You know, they had no other choice but to give Amari that money, man, because you can't give up a first-round pick for a guy, you know, and not, you know, and just let him go, you know, for – practically nothing, man. You know, you gave up a first-round pick, you know what I'm saying? So you had to kind of go ahead and spend that money. And then when you look at Amari on his side, I think from day one, you know, when the Cowboys did that, I think he had a sense of loyalty towards Jerry Jones and the Cowboys after that move to bring him to Dallas. And I think, you know, Amari, you know, even before, you know, the beginning of last season, I remember he talked about, you know, his desire to stay in Dallas and everything, man. So, and then, you know, yeah, you can go to the Redskins for more money, but, you know, you're not going to a better situation. You're not going to a better team. You know, Redskins team that's rebuilding right now, a few years away from really being able to contend, you know, as far as the division. So why not, you know, stick it out in Dallas while you still have that window to win games and make the playoffs? And like I said, I think it's a deal that's going to work out for both parties. And I know you're going to touch on Rex Ryan's comments also there towards Amari Cooper. And the thing is, Rex Ryan, it's fair criticism. Amari Cooper, like I said, he's shown up, you know, in games where, you know, the competition wasn't that great or wasn't that much on the line. He puts up big numbers in those games, but he has yet to really show that he can do it, you know, when it matters the most. And, you know, I hope that Amari can look at the criticism that Rex Ryan, you know, threw at him, and he can use that as motivation going towards next season and try to prove all his critics, all his Dallas wrong.
I hear that. And, you know, the Cowboys still have not worked out a deal with Dak Prescott. I feel like it's getting more expensive every day. They put the exclusive tag on him. Dak wants a 4-year deal for what we're hearing, and the Cowboys want a 5-year deal. What are your thoughts on the haggling with Dak and the Cowboys? Seems like he wants one of those $35 billion deals or $4 billion, so like 4 years and 140. I don't know how much guaranteed he wants out of that 4 years, 140. But do you see Dak as $35 million a year, the Russell Wilson contract, but in real money, not new money?
Right. And with that situation, you know, I think something's going to get done before that July 15th deadline there. And also in regards to that, you know, the Cowboys have a long history of signing, you know, their top guys to long-term deals. They like to, you know, sign guys to five-year deals so they can spread that money out throughout the salary cap throughout the years on the deal. So that's why they're, you know, definitely pushing for a 5-year deal. And Dak wants a 4-year deal so he can, you know, test free agency again, you know, while he's maybe, what, just reaching 30, 31 years old at the time that the deal would be done. So I think at the end of the day, man, you know, he's going to get $35 million a year. He's going to get Russell Wilson money. It's just a matter of years at this point. But I think the deal's going to get done. I don't see Dak going into next season playing on a franchise tag. I just don't see it happening. I think something's going to get done, but it's going to be close to that deadline. They, you know, Jerry Jones, he's all about suspense. He's going to, you know, make you weigh it out, you know, the drama and everything as far as that goes. But I think at the end of the day, a deal gets done, man. Dak is going to end up with maybe a 4-year deal if that's what he wants. They'll work something out as far as a 4-year deal, or they'll do a 5-year deal. But something's going to get done before that franchise tag deadline.
I noticed a lot of Dallas Cowboy defenders went to the Oakland Raiders following Rob Marinelli out there, man. So the Raiders in that Cowboys West now, I see, on defense at least.
Yeah, man. It's Cowboys West, huh? Viva Las Vegas. So, yeah, man. I mean, the only guy that I think is really going to make a difference on that team, or it's going to really help, is Malik Collins, man. But Jason Witten and Jeff Heath, yeah, I'm not seeing. Maybe Jeff Heath on special teams, but I think Heath hasn't really been exposed. You know, he's not a great safety. He was a thumper. He can hit, but he had no coverage skills whatsoever, man. So I think he'll get exposed a little bit if he does see a lot of playing time out there in Oakland. I mean, out there in Vegas now. But, yeah, Jason Witten, he's washed. He's not going to really be able to provide much out there for them. The only guy that's going to make a little bit of a difference is probably Malik Collins.
How shocked are you that Cam Newton and Jameis Winston are still unsigned right now? And what are the Chargers doing? They should either sign Winston or Cam Newton now. They're both better than Tyrod Taylor.
Are they, though? like when you really think about it, like, are they that much better? I know we talk about Cam Newton, you know, former MVP. I mean, if you're asking me right now, boss, if you're asking me if I'm the general manager of the Chargers, do I want Cam or Tyrod Taylor? Yeah, okay, give me Cam, but I'm not so sure that Cam is just like 10 times better than Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure Jameis Winston is 10 times better than Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, when it comes down to it, and it's all about your scheme and you know, what you want to do out there. You know, Cam Newton, he's not the same guy that he once was. Is he still a NFL starter? Yeah. But is he still the MVP caliber player that he was 5 years ago? No, he's not that guy, man. He's taking a toll. He's taking a lot of hits, you know, injury concerns as well for Cam. And then also, Cam was never the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, man. You talk about a guy that was always in the high 50s as far as completion percentage with Cam Newton. So, like I said, you know, I can understand the Chargers kind of, you know, having some, you know, meetings and thoughts going on about what they want to do. At the end of the day, you know, do you sign Cam? Probably. But if you keep Tyrod Taylor, I wouldn't be mad at them also if they did that, you know, because I'm not sure that Cam is just that much better right now. And then Jameis Winston, I think Jameis, you know, because the musical cheers of quarterback in the NFL, you know, everybody has kind of fallen into place. So I don't see a starting position for Jameis Winston this year. I think Jameis is going to end up being a backup somewhere. And wouldn't it be something if he ends up on the Cowboys as a backup?
Yeah, they didn't re-sign Cooper Rush or whoever it is. They didn't re-sign him?
Yeah,
Cooper
I think, yeah, but I mean, yeah, you did, but, if, you know, if that went down, you know, would you feel better having Jameis as your backup or Cooper Rush? You know what I'm saying?
Of course, resting, but if Katie Keys is his price tag.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to, you know what, I don't think he's going to cost that much. I really don't. I could see him falling somewhere between $3 million, $4 million, man. I don't think Jameis is going to command a lot as far as like a one-year deal somewhere.
You know who's a sleeper team? They were smart. The Jaguars, who struggle with fans, Winston or Newton, too.
Because
Gardner Minshew, is you going to go with Gardner Minshew, really? Really?
They are. I mean, they are. Man, they're going to go with Gardner Minshew, you know, at least for, you know, the foreseeable future. Like I said, you know, one of those guys, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, said last musical cheer, and Cam and Jameis are kind of circling around it as far as the starting position. And, you know, once whoever gets that last seat, the other guys will be on the bench, man. Can you imagine Cam Newton or Jameis come off the bench, you know, or being a backup for a team next year?
I can see it happening, but it don't mean it's right, because I don't think that – Nick Foles or Trubisky should be starting in Chicago, but they drafted him so high, and Matt Nagy loves Nick Foles, so he got his boy there. So, but I don't think Jared Goff was that good either in the Rams, but they paid him so much money. So I feel like the money is so tied up with these guys that, hey, you got to play these guys who you got the money tied up in, but they're not really not that good as guy paid because it's time to turn and get paid. But I'm with you, though. Like, it's going to be weird to see one of them dudes coming off the bench when – you see guys like Blaine Gabbert get a job behind Tom Brady. Speaking of Tom Brady, you shocked that he went to the Buccaneers, that the Patriots didn't try to keep him, and he ended up with the Bucs, out of all these teams.
I think after a certain point in time, you talk about a guy that has been there, what, 20 years, man. 20 years and has won 6 rings, man. And we've been in the Super Bowl, what, 8-9 times now overall. It was just time, man. Like, you know, you can't – 20 years is a long time, especially in the NFL. And, you know, if you feel like you can still play and the team, you know, feels like, you know, they want to try to see what else is out there, like, I mean, it's an amicable split. You know, I don't think it was the Patriots' fault. I don't think it was Brady's fault. Like, at a certain point in time, you just kind of go your own ways. And him going to Tampa, I'm intrigued to see what happens. You know, we're going to find out. This is going to be either validation for Tom Brady or validation for Bill Belichick. Like, who was really responsible for the Patriots run, for that dynasty, man? Was it Tom or was it Bill, man? I've always been of the notion that Tom Brady is a system quarterback. Like, he would not have been successful anywhere else other than New England. You know, I'm always going to – you know, be of that notion. And this upcoming year, whenever it does start, you know, this upcoming year is going to dictate you know, who was right, who was responsible for the Patriots dynasty, man. And I think when it's all said and done, I think people are going to realize that it was Bill Belichick. Tom Brady is a great player, but if Belichick wasn't there, I don't think Tom Brady would have had that same success, man.
I hear that. Now, also, we're going to hit this before we get out of here, man. Is Trey Young. He's back at it again. The story leaked today, bro, about Trey Young discontent with Lloyd Pierce. And my thing is this, bro. Why do you leak this during the pandemic? Why?
Right.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I'm trying to hold you accountable. Just play defense and pass the ball to your teammates. I mean, we're not going to win anyway. So what's your deal? Like, this has been going on all year long, him complaining about Lloyd Pierce and his teammates, and he puts his good friend in front of the media, but he does it behind the scenes, and it leaks out via certain reporters. And I'm like, come on, man. What are your thoughts about this, man?
I mean, you know, it's one of those situations where you got a guy in Trae Young, you know, top five pick, the franchise, the future. And, you know, a Hawks team that had, you know, before the everything, you know, just went to hell as far as the season. You know, you were talking about a Hawks team that was underachieving. You know, a lot of people, you know, and you know this, you know, you being there, boss, you know, as far as, you know, the expectations for the Hawks was, you know, a team that could possibly, you know, contend for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference this year.
And those were false expectations. I told you at the beginning. I told you that was a false hope.
Yeah.
I told you at the beginning that was false hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, a team that, you know, definitely underachieved, you know, up until, you know, the point where the season cut off. And you know, it's a situation as far as Lloyd Pierce, man. Like, I've never been a big fan of his. You know what I'm saying? He's a great guy. But, I mean, like I said, boss, I'm looking at it from the outside. You're on the inside. Just looking at his coaching and the team, he doesn't seem to really be able to inspire guys. Am I wrong in saying that?
It's more of lack of talent than inspiring guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of lack of talent. Guys will – the problem with the Hawks is that they have a good run. Then you go to the Hawks bench. Then that's the issue.
Yeah, okay.
You know, then if you notice, the blowouts happen second, third, and fourth quarters when the bench are in.
No doubt.
The starters can keep it reasonable. Then you get past Trey, Collins, Herter, you know, Hunter. Then you go to the bench.
I'm with you.
Things go downhill. And I mean, I can't put it on Lloyd Pierce when the GM constructed a bad roster.
Yeah.
From the jump to save money and get on the cap and get draft picks.
No doubt. No doubt, man. So, you know, like, I think at the end of the day, man, whenever the NBA does resume and, you know, they get past this season and whenever they start next season, I think if the Hawks don't show signs of promise next season, man, as far as winning games and being in contention, I could see an early exit for Lloyd Pierce there, man.
Yeah, I can too. I think what's going to happen, Lord, is this. He's going to take all these L's, build a team up, but then once – same guy will kind of happen with Larry Drew and Mike Budenholzer. Larry Drew, you know, he's stabbed by Woodson in the back. The team was getting good under Drew and Woodson. Then Bud comes in with the team ready and try to make a run with him. So, Lord will take all these L's on his record. Then all of a sudden, he'll hire somebody new to take him over the hump. Get all the credit for it, kind of like Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr to a degree.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes, yeah, one of those situations, man. Like I said, the Hawks being 20-47 up until the point that, you know, the NBA season was suspended, man. It's just, you know, like and people in Atlanta, you know, you guys, they care about basketball. They care about the Hawks. Like, the Hawks were doing good at one point, going to the playoffs. Now, you know, you got a young superstar, but you got to surround him with talent. You know, and if he's beefing with the coach, you know who's going to win that battle.
I already know it's going to be Trae Young in that battle. Well, bruh, I know right now we're trying to overcome this COVID-19. We're going to keep the show going and entertain our fans. The home studio is working pretty good so far. It sounds good on my end. I hope it sounds good on your end. So I think we're ready to go to beat this thing, bro.
Hey, show them place. Hey, and this too shall pass, man. Like I said, everybody stay home, stay safe, do what you got to do, man, and just protect each other, man, and let's just get over this so we can get back to living our lives, man.
No doubt, bro. We'll talk to you next week, my brother. Stay safe, man.
All right, boss.
That's J.C. Smith. I'm the boss, man, so people check him out.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-E-R-R-Y, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, WinterGuard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who was that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that I'ma dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, fellas, back on the Boss Man Show. You've been clamoring for it. The Boss Report, which means me and my man Bong give you the best of what's going on in the state of Florida, which is very much in the news right now for being Floridian with the governor of Florida, man Ron DeSantis, not wanting to issue a state of home order until he got pressure on his candy ass to do so, Bone. So, before we get started, the governor of Florida, man, doing some dumb on the report already, Bone.
Well, that shouldn't come as any shock, considering what we go through every week on the Boss Report with these cats down in Florida, man. It's like a wild, wild west down there.
Yes, and the stupid governor letting cats on the beach have spring break and be in the water, spreading the virus. Cruise ships out can't dock in Florida because of the virus. I'm like, boy, our governor is the epitome of Florida man, Florida woman. The epitome is our governor. Seriously.
Yeah, Florida needs its own reality TV show. Just Florida alone needs its own reality TV series.
You know what I call Ron DeSantis? A Trump stooge. What he is. He's a Trump lackey, a Trump stooge. What DeSantis is. What an idiot.
Sound like a certain coach in Wisconsin.
Exactly. In his failing beard.
My goodness.
His failing beard, it won't grow.
Got that best beard.
It's not a pop beard, sir.
I'll call
it a Lissimo beard, sir. Do it's, better, sir.
it's a ringless. It's a ringless beard. It's toast goes who leads. Yeah.
There you go. Now, sucker, can you dig that, sucker? Folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story, Bone, is this. In that same vein, Florida man trains pro wrestlers in dingy clothing in an unmarked warehouse for $2,000 a day. The Florida police cannot find the warehouse to stop the wrestling training illegally during the quarantine.
Oh, man, they all got it. Let's just mark them down with a red X on the door. They all got it.
Yes.
I mean, even great McMahon said, I'm going to hold WrestleMania without an audience. And these dumbasses are in the warehouse cooped up. Oh, man, I can't imagine. They all got it.
Yes. Florida man hangs giant roll of toilet paper in front yard to troll neighbors can't buy tissue.
Wow, I know that cat voted for. First of all, the way that sounds. I mean, but how are you going to be so insensitive and so ignorant and arrogant to do this thing?
Exactly. Like, really? You hung a big roll of toilet paper in a tree to troll neighbors who can't get tissue?
See, this is how the purge happens in real life.
Exactly. Like, come on. Get this. Florida man and pastor tries to give Jesus his flock coronavirus by holding service despite the safer home orders.
Yeah, I hear about these people in these churchgoers that are still going to these services and being cooped up inside a temple where it just breathes on each other and all the hallelujahs in each other's faces. Now, some people actually don't think they can get it. And I don't get that reason at all. Because this is real, man. This is real life. And these people out there, I guess they think just go in there and it'll just pray it away. But to me, I like science. And I know science is real.
I like breathing.
Yeah, that too.
I like not being in a pine box not breathing. So,
yeah.
And you can see the death, devastation daily. Just listen to Andrew Cuomo's conscience every day. Look at the pictures from Queens hospitals. It's real, people. It's not a hoax.
No, it's
as
not
that
a hoax.
Idiot 45 Cheeto says. It's real.
Yeah. Cheeto and Wisconsin say it's a hoax. It's not a hoax, guys.
Whew, God help us get this. Florida man zooms himself in a distance learning class, exposing himself, saying, quote, "Does anybody want to suck this monster?"
What? And what kind of class? Yes. What kind of class?
Distance learning class. Doing, he zoomed himself to a Florida University of Florida class, distance learning, zoomed himself in there, said, exposing himself, said, quote, "Does anybody want to suck this monster?"
That kind of cat, I doubt it's a monster. And the people on the conference probably had to zoom in to see how small it was. So that's just idiotic.
Yes. Florida man from Tampa arrested in Hawaii for breaking quarantine order to go get him some cat across town.
It must be some good stuff then to risk life and limb to risk that. I don't think there's anyone on my top five list that I'm going to risk coronavirus for. I don't care how good it may be.
Yes. Oh, God. This next story, I can't get it out of my laughing already. Because Florida man was arrested for jumping over the counter at a soul food restaurant to grab the food preparer's big old rump, because he said, quote, "I've seen a rump that big as somebody in their 50s. He had to touch it and bite and kiss on it."
He took over the counter for that?
Yes!
And he was rubbing on it too?
Yes, and they bit on it and kissed it.
And he bit on it and kissed it. That sounds like what happened on the old Marv Albert stuff that went down in the 90s. I don't know, man. Again, I'm not risking my sanitation for anyone. I mean, I don't know how big and rump this it is. I'm not risking myself for that, I don't think.
My man hopped the counter to grab that booty.
He went like Mr. Hazard. He ducked over the counter like Mr. Hazard did over the car. Oh, man, that's a serious rump. And he said it was 50-year-old rump, huh? So it was age,
yes.
It was age, thankfully.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And he was one of us too, brother.
Well, of course, brother. It was rump. Of course. Of course.
Oh, man. Okay. Florida man's government council meeting ends abruptly after one of the members moons the camera and releases some gas from the ass.
Oh, see, now I know that's not an our ilk. Because our
of
ilk.
Course not.
Yeah, because it's funny. Because our ilk, we love the rump, but we're not mooning anyone. So I know for sure that's not of our people.
Yeah. God. Why, people? Why? Oh, goodness, this story's even funnier. Florida man sparks 10-acre forest fire at gender reveal by releasing explosives to celebrate having a boy.
Florida and their guns, Florida and their explosives. And this whole gender reveal thing is just getting out of hand now. And I've seen both races do it now. It's kind of irks me to see people do these gender reveals. You know how I found out about my son a whole reveal by word of mouth, I was told by my doctor. So I don't understand all these parties they have with these people, and they get sillier and dumber by the moment.
I'm with you. I agree. I totally agree. And get this. Florida man, who's also a pastor, claims toilet paper rolls will multiply if you just have faith, pray, and tithe today.
Sure, that works. That always works. I'm not knocking people who are religious, but if you pray for inanimate objects like TP, it will appear on your doorstep. I agree with that. That makes total Floridian sense. That is so Florida.
Yes, it is. Oh, goodness gracious. Florida man found in violation of stay-at-home order, found in the car naked with girl with her mouth on his Johnson that he met on a social media app called Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish. And they all got it, too. I mean, I don't think it's, again, like with anything I said previously, I don't think even the best toffee in the world is worth Corona. So these fools out here, they're risking life and limb, man, for this stuff. I don't get it.
To get this. Florida man arrested for stealing Kit Kat Nutty Buddies from Walmart. Arrested after coughing on deputy and peeing on him saying, quote, now you got the virus.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. He coughed and peed. I don't know what to push, man. For real. I don't know because, you know, I mean, I don't think you can get disease from pee, but that's like the ultimate disrespect. I think that and saliva are the two things that I'm not going to stand for any person to put on me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, whatever that cat got from officer of the law, he might earn that one.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And Florida, I'm going to arrest after spraying substance labeled COVID-19 at local gas station, quote, now y'all got it.
Man, these cats are out here just thinking it's a wild, wild west now. It's like anarchy. Did this cat get beat down by any chance?
No, people were trying to run from him.
Oh, well, yeah, that would do it too. I mean, run opposite way. But, man, somebody, hopefully, that was wearing like a hazmat suit, can go over there and get that kid like a Stone Cold Stunner or a Gore or something. So he needs it.
Yes, indeed. Oh my goodness, naked Florida man arrested, showing up at Bellevue home after girlfriend came out of the house for not being able to get an erection.
Huh? I'll just pill for that? I mean, it's about serious, Ma. Just go to the drugstore and give him help. You know what I'm saying? Give him a hand.
Exactly.
You know
what I'm saying? Jeez. Oh, God. This is so messed up. Oh, goodness gracious. Also, bad story. Naked Florida man arrested after being caught sexually pleasuring himself outside of a Silver Springs motel, then gets caught doing it again at a Target later the same after being released from jail.
Was that by any chance a Cal Winslow Jr.? Because he was one of those cats in the Target parking lot doing the deed.
Not him this time.
Not him this time, but again, Winslow Jr. is from Florida, right?
Yes, he is.
The U. So, yeah, it kind of ties in. Maybe this guy was a big fan of the U. he follows suit. But, I mean, just stay home and do that. You're already homebound now anyway. Why are you out in the middle of parking lots doing this?
Exactly. Oh, goodness gracious. Get this. Florida man arrested. He's a black man, unfortunately. Arrested for stealing $800 worth of lingerie from Dillard's. Why is a black man need $800 worth of lingerie from Dillard's?
He must got a harem. He's just dishing out these pieces to his ladies. I mean, $800 worth. I mean, I don't know the going rate for lingerie these days, but I mean, $800 is kind of excessive.
Yeah. Get this. Florida man steals forklift. Uses forklift to smash into TJ Maxx. Steal the conveyor belt and register. Then gets called coming back to do it again.
So he did the first time. He succeeded and went back for more?
Yes, he did.
That's just being greedy. You got to know your limitations, man. First of all, forklift ain't that fast. So if he got away the first time, chances are second time they're gonna catch you second time.
Oh God, only in Florida, man. Last two of the day. Florida woman arrested for hitting deputy in the face with her tampon since kissing, quote, "You got the virus."
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm just guessing, though.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. So then she lives there and tell a story, because if it was our people, they're probably getting gunned down. But a whole different topic. The fact that she did that, she's deranged and just nasty. Yeah, that's just nasty. I mean, what possessed you to think of that kind of solution to your problem, that you're going to do that and then say, you got the Rona?
Like, really? Oh, God, your goodness, help us all. Last one of the day. Miami man steals food truck, blames the virus for it.
Yeah. Some people used to say, it wasn't me, it was the devil in me doing it. The devil. This time, it's the Rona. So that's how they get a new catchphrase, going to in next year. It wasn't a devil, it was a phone that made me do it.
Yeah, God, my state. Bone, what is your take on today's Florida Boss Report of all the craziness going on in my state this week?
Yeah, I am disappointed, though, that there weren't any Stone Cold Stuns, there weren't any gores or power bombs. Usually we have one of those per week. But also, with the whole sex stories, different type of sex stories, y'all, did y'all know that Pornhub is now free? So if you're really that hurt and you're really that hard up, pun intended, just stay home and you got Pornhub for free. Why are you out there violating yourself in public places? I don't get that.
Exactly. Like, come on, man. Do better, Floridians. Do better. Come on. Seriously. I get it, but come on. Do better. Please. Oh, God. Bye. Well, folks, at the Boss Report this week on the Boss Man Show, Boss and Bone. Check us out. We out.
And if you don't know, now you know. We'll be right back.